This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Megillah, tape number 2. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis, or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible and summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Matl Bas Yosef HaKohen Hibunin, Zichrono Levracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This tape is in Masechtas Megillah. We're in the middle of the second parak at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. Everyone, even a woman, is kosher to be mitzi other people in Megillah. The only people who cannot be mitzi other people in Megillah are a cheres shayta v'kon. This is a person who is deaf, a person who does not have a sufficient amount of intelligence, or a person who is below the age of bar mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan can be mitzi other people, and Tosfos says that this katan who can be mitzi other people must at least be higia lechinuch, must at least be aged 10 to 11. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that if one reads Kriya Shema and does not hear it, then he is not Yaitza, because it says Shema Yisrael. So too, a cheresh cannot be mitzi others, since he cannot hear it. As we know from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes, Kol She'ena Mechuyev Bedavar, Eina Mitzi Acherem Yedei Chavasan. The Gemara says that a person should not recite Birchas HaMazon in his heart, i.e. he should not recite it without hearing the words. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda says that when he was a katan, he leaned the Megillah for Rabbi Tarfon in Lud, and the Gemara says that this is no raya, since we say a mevi'in raya min akot. We do not bring a raya from someone at the time that he was a kohen. Tavchav, the Mishnah. We do not begin to read the Megillah, or we do not do bris milah, or tefillah for a zav or a tamei meis, or a zava shemeres yom keneged yom, until at least the period of Netzachama in the morning. We have to wait at least until Netzachama to do any of these things. But b'diavad, if they did any of these things as early as just after Amud HaShachar, which is a period of 72 minutes before Netzachama, then they're Yaitza. And the Gemara says, Megillah is only done by day, since the Pasuk says, V'hayomim ha'ela niskarim. Of course, we do it at night also, although the Ikar Mitzvah is by day. Mila is by day only, because the Pasuk says, U'v'yoyim hashmini yima. In Shulchan Aruch, Simen, Reish Samach Beis, we paskin that if a child has a bris milah at night, there is a suffix if he needs an additional hatafas dam bris by day in order to be yaitze the mitzvah of bris milah. A zav is similar to a balkari, in that he can be toivel by day without having to wait for the night. And the Gemara says that until the stars come out, until the period known as tseis hakechavim, it's not called night yet, and the day does not begin until alois hashachar. So when we're dealing with halachas that are called halachas for the daytime, lechatchila, you're supposed to do them after Netzachama, but b'di'evet, if you did them as early as just after alois hashachar, you're yaitza. The Mishnah. There are many things that can be done all day. The complete day is a good time to do the mitzvah. This includes the mitzvah of saying halal, the mitzvah of blowing shofar, the mitzvah of netilas lulav, saying musaf, vidui, smichas karbanas, melika, Kabbalas Hadam, the water of the Saita, Egla Arufa, and Taharas Hamitzera. And then there are things which are kosher to be done all night. This includes Ksiras HaYomer, which we do on Tesayin Nisan. We know Motzai Tesvav, they would cut the barley in preparation from the Mincha the next day, which was called the Yomer. And also Hekter Chalavim Ve'evarim. These things can be done all night. The rule is, Zahaklal, Dover Shemitzvasei B'Yom, Kosher Kol HaYom. And Dover Shemitzvasei Balayla, Kosher Kol HaLayla. And the Gemara says, all viduyim are done by day, since they're connected via psukim. The Chiper Ba'adai Uva'ad Beisai, and B'yayim Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem. Anything that is Ma'akev a Karban and needs a Kayan must be done by day only. This includes everything from the Kamitza to the Hazah. Daf Chaf Aleph. Although the cutting of the Omer and the counting of the Sfira is by night only, but the bringing of the carbon is by day only, the day of Tes Zayin. That's when it's Matir the Chodesh. Tosfos and Menachos points out that because counting the Svira is by night, if one forgot to count by night, he can count during the day, but only without a bracha for that day. But if a person forgot to count both by day and by night, then it's not tamimos anymore, and he cannot continue to count at all with a bracha. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that the Korban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzos, at night, not all night. Rabbi Akiva holds it can be eaten all night. In Shulchan Aruch, Simen, Tafayin Zion, we paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the Korban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzos. And in fact, today, when we eat the Afikayman, especially on the first night, we are machmer to eat the Afikayman before Chatzos. This marks the end of the second parak. Now let us begin the third parak, Parak HaKoreh, Aymed. This parak deals primarily with the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Before we start, let us begin with a brief hakdama. The Yerushalmi brings the pasuk in Vayikra, Parak Chof Gimel, Vayedaber Moshe es Me'adei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, and says that we learn from here that Moshe was Mesaken, that Bnei Yisrael should read from the Torah on Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, and Chol HaMoed. Ezra expanded this takana to include the laning of the Torah until Sheni, on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos by Mincha. This is known as Takanas Ezra. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, says this takana is based on the pasuk in Shmais, Perek Tesvav, Vayelchu Shleishas Yomim Babidbor V'loi Matzu Mayim. And since we know Ein Mayim, Ein Torah, we don't want to go more than 3 days without laning from the Torah. Since Monday and Thursday were the market days, those days were chosen for the Kriyas HaTorah, and then Shabbos by Mincha was also added. As we will learn here in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, it used to be that they would finish the Torah only once every 3 years. Then the Velt was Mekabel, the Minig, Bavel, which would be to complete it every single year. In the time of the Mishnah, when people would get an Aliyah, they would read from the Torah, each person would read for himself. And there were only two brachas that were said in total. The first bracha, Asher Brachar Banu, was said only before the first Aliyah, and Asher Nasalanu was said after the last Aliyah, not like today where everyone says both brachas. They were mesakin this, Mishum HaNichnasin uMishum HaYotzin. Today we also have a Balkore who reads for everyone. But nonetheless, each person should read quietly his own Aliyah to himself. Of course, at that time we know each person would read himself. Another interesting point is that in the days of the Mishnah, they would have a meturgeman, a translator who would recite each Hebrew pasuk in Aramaic also. Regarding the Haftarah, which we read after each parsa, this Haftarah is always about the Inyana D'Yayma. The minig of Haftarah was begun in the days when there was a Gzeres Hashmad, and the Jews were not allowed to read from the Torah, so they were mesaken to read from the Navi on a related subject. They read a minimum of 21 psukim, three psukim minimum for each of the seven aliyahs. So three psukim times seven aliyahs is equal to the 21 psukim neged the psukim of the Torah. Today, we don't add special psukim from the Torah for the maftir, but rather we repeat the last few psukim of every parsha as the maftir aliyah. And those are just the psukim which we had already learned during the parsha. And this is so lo yehe shava kveit hanavi, we don't want to read it separately because we want to make sure that the Navi it does not become more chashiv than the reading of the Torah. With these points in mind, let us begin the third parak from the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah says, a yachid who reads the Megillah can sit or stand, but one who reads for a tzibor must stand. On Monday and Thursday, and Shabbos by Mincha, we call three people, three aliyahs, for the reading of the Torah. We have no less than three people, and we have no more than three people. In other words, there's always three exact aliyahs. On Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, we have four aliyahs, no more and no less. On Yontif, we call five aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, we call six aliyahs. And on Shabbos, we call seven aliyahs. Of course, as we mentioned before, the maftir is read as just simply a repetition of the last few psukim. It's an additional aliyah, but it's no extra psukim. These days, we also have a haftarah, and the Mishnah says, if we want, we can add extra people on those days. Since people aren't in a rush to get out of shul, we're allowed to add aliyahs if we want to. The Rush and the Rambam hold that Hysafas are mutter for both Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Yontif. But according to the Ran, Hysafas extra aliyahs are only mutter on Shabbos. They're not mutter on Yontif and Yom Kippur. This is because these days could potentially end up having more aliyahs than Shabbos. This is how it's paskin in the Ramah and Simen Resh Pei Beis. In other words, if on Yontif we would say, you know, we're going to add four more aliyahs, we'd end up having 9 aliyahs on that Yontif day, and it would end up that Yontif has 9 aliyahs, and maybe the Shabbos after has only 7. And we don't want the Yontif to be more chashiv than the Shabbos. Therefore, according to this Shita, and according to the Ran, which is how we paskin, on Yontif we only have 5 aliyahs, and we do not make Kaisafas. In Yom Kippur we have only 6 aliyahs, and we do not make Kaisafas. But on Shabbos we have 7 aliyahs, and we are allowed to make Kaisafas. The only exception to this rule on Yontif is Simchas Torah. Since on Simchas Torah we want everybody to have an aliyah, therefore we can have as many aliyahs as we want. And the Gemara says, when Hashem transmitted the Torah to Klal Yisrael, He stood. So too, when we transmit Torah in a tzibor, the Balkare stands also. Once Rabban Gamliel was nifter, Torah learning was never the same, and people stopped learning Torah in a standing position. The Gemara says there were different minhagim as to whether we made a bracha after the Megillah or not. However, all agree that we make a bracha before the Megillah. This is true since we say, Kol ha-mitzvahs kulan mevarech aleihen over las yasam. Over means immediately before the Megillah, but not earlier than that. Since we need to make a bracha before we do a mitzvah, everybody agrees we make a bracha before we read the Megillah. Before the Megillah, Rav Ashi made 3 brachas. Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and She'achiyano. This is abbreviated with Memnon Ches. These were made both by day and by night. And after the Megillah, he made the bracha of Harav Esribenu. And this is how we do it today. The Gemara asks, why did the Chachamim choose the number of 3 for the number of aliyahs on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos by Mincha? Rav Ashi says this corresponds to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And Rava says it corresponds to Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. The meaning of laning 3 days, as we mentioned, came from Tekanas Ezra HaSeifer, as we learned in the Gemara of, in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis. First was the Tekanas Moshe Rabbeinu, but that was only for 3 psukim each time. Ezra HaSeifer came and then added 3 aliyahs, which totaled 10 psukim on these days. And Reb Simi learned that when we lane, we don't read less than 10 psukim. Where did this special number of 10 come from? Rav Yosef says, Keneged Aseres HaDibros. Rabbi Levi says, Keneged the 10 Hilulim of David in Tehillim. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's Keneged the Asara Ma'amores Shevahem Nivra Ha'olam. It's Keneged the 10 words used to create the world. The 10 times that Hashem said, Vayomer. Taisus asks, we know that the minimum number of psukim is 10 psukim, but what about on Purim? On Purim we only lay 9 psukim in the morning. So how can we get away with only laying 9? So Taisus answers, it's one big inyan, the inyan of Amalek, and since it's all the inyan of Amalek, you can lay only the 9 psukim because it's all one inyan, and also because of inyana the yema. That's why you could do that. In fact, that's the only day that we lay 9 psukim. Otherwise, aside from that, the minimum is always 10 psukim. The Gemara says, by a menorah, we add candles on Hanukkah from night to night. On the first night, we light 1 candle. On the second night, we light 2 candles. Since we say Milin Bakaidish the Ain Mairid. Therefore the Havamin is that when we have 10 psukim, the first aliyah gets 3 psukim, the second aliyah gets 3 psukim, and it's the last aliyah that always gets 4 psukim. We say Milin Bakaidish the Ain Mairid. Today we do not follow this exactly. The Gemara says that back then, of the 3 aliyahs, the first person made a bracha before his aliyah, the second person made no bracha at all, and the third person made just a bracha afterwards. Today, all people who get an aliyah make both brachas. One bracha beforehand, asher bachar banu, and one bracha after his aliyah, asher nasan lanu, since there are people who come late and leave early from shul. Therefore, everyone will be yaitza with all the brachas. Daf Chof Beis. We know we have a rule that we have to read a minimum of 3 psukim per aliyah, no less than that. The question is, what do we do on Rosh Chodesh? The first 2 aliyahs have only 5 psukim available. So how do you divide them up to cover 2 aliyahs, to cover Kayan and Levi? We have a machlekes. Rav says you read 3 psukim, and then you repeat the 3rd pasuk for the 2nd aliyah. In other words, of the 5 psukim available, you read the first 3, then you read the last 3 for the Levi aliyah. You cannot split the middle pasuk in half, since you're only allowed to split a pasuk for purposes of teaching little children. However, Shmuel argues, and he says we do split the pasuk, so we would have 2.5 psukim for Kayan, and then 2.5 psukim for Levi. La halacha, the Ramban says we do not repeat psukim, but the Ran and the Rif, which is how we paskin, says we do repeat psukim. The question is, what exactly do we repeat? As far as halacha lemaisa today, there is a major machlekes rishayim how we should learn this sugya. Generally speaking, the minig is like we see in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tovchav Beis, who comes out like the Shitas HaGa'inim, which say that the second aliyah repeats the last pasuk of the first aliyah. This is how most shuls do it. However, the Shitas Hagra, based on a girsa in Masechtas Seferim, says that the first two aliyahs read Tiluviyam HaShabbos without repeating anything, and the third aliyah is the one that repeats. It repeats the last three psukim of the second aliyah, and then reads the two psukim of Uviyam HaShabbos. This is the minig in Eretz Yisrael, as well as Yeshivas Chaim Berlin here in the United States. A pei, which we have in the Torah, is equal to a psucha. That's when you have a space of 9 oisius as a hefsik, and the new inyan begins on the next line. The samach stands for stuma. That means that you have oisius, you have the 9 oisius, and the new inyan begins on the same line. The Gemara says that the klal is, when there's a musaf, we lain 4 aliyas. The question is, what is a tainus considered? Do we lain 4 aliyas because of anenu, or do we lain only 3 because there's no musaf? Rav Ami and Rav Asi were the most respected kohanim in all of Eretz Yisrael, but Shmuel was also a kohen. The general rule is, if there's ever a situation where a longer Kriyas HaTorah could keep people from getting to work, then you lain just 3 psukim. This would be on Tisha B'Av and on a Tainus. But if there's no Bitul Melacha, like Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, then you would lain 4 aliyos. The Ritva points out that in those days, many people did not go to work on Rosh Chodesh. Rashi says that only women did not work on Rosh Chodesh. This is where it came from, this whole inyan of laning 4 aliyos, because people didn't go to work. On a Tainus, the third aliyah is the Maftir aliyah. And if it falls on Monday or Thursday, we still have just 3 aliyos, and it's this third aliyah which gets the Maftir. The klal is that any day with something special over another day gets an extra aliyah. So Monday and Thursday have 3 aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, which has Musaf, gets 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov, which has the Isser of Asiyas Melacha, and Malkus of a person is Mevatel then, has 5 aliyahs. Yom Kippur has something more because it has Karis for doing Melachas, that has 6 aliyahs. And Shabbos has something more Chomer, which is Skila for doing a Melacha, that has 7 aliyahs. The Gemara says that one cannot bow on a floor made of stone, except in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the Gemara says a person should never complain loudly up to Shemayim. Li'oilam ayatiach adam klape maila. Taf Chaf Gimel. There's a machlokes how many aliyahs we have on Shabbos, but our Mishnah, which says 7 aliyahs, is like the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says that on Yontif many people came late to Shul, and left early, because as Rashi says, they were to prepare the Su'udas. But in Yom Kippur, they come early and leave late, since there are so many tefillas. We said here that on Yom Tov, people come late to shul, and Rashi says this is because people are at home cooking. And the Yavetz asks, since when do men cook that they have to come late to shul? And he answers, pshat is that their wives are cooking, but the husbands are watching the children while their wives are cooking. This, of course, is a fundamental lesson in Shalom Bayis. The Gemara asks, besides what we learned on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, we now come back to the question of why we have the number of 3 in terms of the number of aliyahs we have during the week. And the Gemara gives another answer to this. The Gemara says the reason we have 3 aliyahs during the week is because it corresponds to Birchas Kohanim, which have 3 words in the first part of it, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. The 5 aliyahs of Yontif correspond to the 5 words of the second pasuk, Yara Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. And the 7 aliyahs on Shabbos correspond to the 7 words of the third pasuk, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom. The Gemara says everyone can be counted in the minyan of 7 to get an aliyah on Shabbos, even a katan and even an isha. However, the Chachamim said that a woman may not get an aliyah because of kavod hatzibur. And the maftir is an aliyah that has regular psukim from the Torah read with it, as we do today. So as Rashi says, shalo yehei kved Torah, Kvayd Navi Shava. And since the purpose of reading the Torah today is for Kavod HaTorah, it does not count as one of the 7 aliyahs. So these psukim that we read from after are simply a repetition of the last few psukim from the parsha that we have just read from. The Gemara says the Haftarah must have at least 21 psukim, corresponding to the 7 aliyahs. 3 times 7 is equal to 21. Halacha L'maisa, as we learn in Siman Reish Pei Beis Sif Gimel, we say that all people can be included to get an aliyah, even an isha or a katan. But women today do not get aliyahs because of kavod hatzibur. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Magen Avram that we do not give a katan an aliyah either. In fact, we do not even give a katan a hesafa either. However, as he says in Sif Katan Yud Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says, that you could give a katan the aliyah of maftir. And I have seen in shuls, I remember as a child, that numerous times someone who was under bar mitzvah would get the aliyah of maftir. Taisus asks, why on every Shabbos don't we take out two Sifrei Torahs, like we do on Rosh Chodesh? And what we'll do is we'll lane one from the Parsha, and one to lane the Karban Uviyayim HaShabbos, from Parshas Pinchas. Why shouldn't we do this? We do it every Rosh Chodesh, we do it every Yontif. Taisus gives a number of terutzim. Number one, he says, since this Uviyayim HaShabbos has only two psukim, and we cannot lane less than three psukim, so we don't lane it at all. Number two, since the Haftarah must be laned from the Inyana Diyayimah, so we would have to lane the same Haftarah every week if we did this. And finally, we only lane from Pinchas if the carbon that we discuss is for the purpose of Kapara. And since the carbon Shabbos is not for Kapara, we do not lane it at all on Shabbos. The Mishnah. We must have a minion of 10 men to do Tefillah B'Tzibur, to Duchen, to lane from the Torah, to do Nichom Avelim for Sheva Brachos, or to make a mezumen with the Shem Hashem. In other words, to say, Baruch Elokeinu Shachalnu V'Shalom. The Gemara says that you need 10 people for a Davar Shebikdusha. As the Pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis says, V'nikdashti B'Seich B'nei Yisrael, called Davar Shebikdusha Lo Yehi Pachas Me'asara. How do you know that you need 10 people for a minyan? Rabbi Chiya says, we learn a Gzeir Shava Toich Toich. Since here it says B'Seich, and by Karach it says, Hibadlu Mitoicha Eda, that's how we know the connection between Toich Toich. Then we make a second Gzeir Shava from Eda Eda. Since by Meraglim it says Eda, and there were 12 Meraglim, if you come to then take away Yehoshua and Kalev, who were the Tzadikim, you're now left with 10 people. And that's how you know 10 people are needed for a minyan. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, in Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Chof Gimel, brings a raya from our Gemara that B'Shas HaTchak, you can be Mitztaref, a Machal L'Shabbos, to a minyan of 10 people. The interesting question here to note is that it's kind of surprising that the whole inyan of minyan we learn from Sukkim that involved the Meraglim and Karach. Moving on here to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, on Daf Chof Gimel, no one should lane less than three Psukim for each Aliyah. The Mishnah then says, after each Pasuk, the Meturgaman would translate the meaning of that Pasuk. And finally, the Mishnah says that it's Osir to skip Psukim in the Torah, but it's Mutter to skip Psukim in Navi. What if in a particular shul they accidentally skip a pasuk or skip a word? If it's Shabbos morning, then you must go back and read that pasuk again, because on Shabbos you have to complete the full Parshas HaShavua. If it's not Shabbos morning, if that aliyah is exactly three psukim and you skip a word or a pasuk, then the whole aliyah is not kosher, and you must make up that aliyah, because as we said, the aliyah has to have at least three psukim. However, if the aliyah is more than three psukim, then you do not have to go back unless that mistaken pasuk was specifically nogea to the inyana d'yayim. I remember once in shul in St. Louis on Chol HaMoed Pesach that the Balkarir was reading the fourth aliyah. He read the pasuk of Ka'ela, and then he stopped before the final pasuk of Uvuyam HaShvi Mikra Kodesh Yiyalochem. Then the person who got that aliyah made the bracha of Asher Nasalanu. At that moment, the people in shul realized that the last pasuk of that aliyah was left out. The question is, did they have to redo that aliyah or not? The Rav at that time, I remember, paskened correctly that since it was Chol HaMoed, this pasuk of Uvayem HaShvi Mikra Kodesh Yalachem is not from the Inyan HaDiyayimah, and therefore is not Makiv of the aliyah, so it was not necessary to go back. Daf Chof Dalet. The minimum requirement of three pasukim per aliyah is based on the three parts of Tanakh, as we said before, amongst many other reasons. The Torah explains that in those days, the Meturgaman would translate the Psukim into Aramaic through Ruach HaKodesh. But today, where we don't have a Meturgaman, since our languages cannot translate properly the way Aramis did, and also since they do not have Ruach HaKodesh, we don't do that today at all. Regarding skipping Psukim in the Torah, this is only Asur if the Inyan isn't related. But if it is an Inyan all part of one big inyan, that it's okay to skip, as we do today on a tainus, that we skip ben gavra legavra for vayachal, the Mishnah. The one who normally gets the maftir also gets other kibudim, like paras al shma, in other words, he gets the daven for the amit. A katan can read from the Torah, but he cannot daven for the amit. The Meiri explains that there is no chiyuv to hear kriya, that's why the katan can read from the Torah. And the Gemara says, the reason the Baal Maftir gets other kibudim is since the Maftir wasn't something chashuv, in other words, he didn't get paid for it, so you must give him another kavod to make up for his Maftir contribution. According to Rabbi Yehuda, someone who never saw light all of his days cannot be paras al shma. But according to the Tanakhama, he can, since he can still get pleasure by knowing someone else could guide him with the light that he is carrying. We have a similar Gemara which discusses a blind woman who is having a child and is therefore a chayla sheyesh by sakana. This is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos daf kuf chav ches. Even though she is blind and has no benefit from the light in the room, the Gemara says that someone is allowed to turn a light on for her on Shabbos. If she's blind, what benefit does she have from the light? The Gemara answers that in knowing that her friend will be able to help her easier, since there will be light in the room, that gives the woman in labor a higher degree of comfort, and therefore the Chil Shabbos is mutter even though she's blind. The Gemara says, Isuve meisve daita, she'll be more comfortable, she'll be worrying less. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Igros Moshe, brings a raya from that Gemara there in Shabbos, that if a woman goes into labor on Shabbos, her husband or someone else would be allowed to accompany her in a cab, since the knowledge that someone is with her makes her more comfortable and prevents her from worrying excessively about the fact that she's on her way to the hospital. The Mishnah. A kayin who has mumin on his hands should not duchen, since people will look at his hands. And we know from the Gemara in Chagiga, if you look at a kayin's hands during duchening, you can hurt your eyes, since the shechina rests on the hands of the kohanim. Taisus says that this danger only applied by duchening in the Beis HaMikdash, but does not apply bizman hazeh. A kayin with dye on his hands shouldn't duchen either, because again, people will come to look at his hands. And the Gemara says, if a person is blind and people can see that there's something wrong with his eye, he cannot duchen since people will look at him. If, however, he is a regular resident of the city, he can duchen since people are used to his mum, and therefore they won't stare at him during the duchening. In Shulchan Aruch, it also says that if a kayin Kohanim cover their heads with a talus, as we do bizman hazeh, that even a kohen who has a mum is allowed to duchen, because they're not going to see anything anyway, because the talus is going to be covering it up. The next Mishnah. If a person says he won't daven because he's wearing colored clothes, then he cannot daven at all for the amid, since we're chayshish that maybe he's a min. If one wears round-shaped tefillin, it's both a danger, and he's not yoytze the mitzvah either. And the Gemara says that round tefillin are no good, since we know that the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai says that tefillin must be a perfect square. Daf Chaf Hei, the Mishnah. If a person says only tzaddikim should bless Hashem, it's all considered derech minus, since Rishayim must also bless Hashem, and we have to silence him. And the same thing if he says maidim, maidim. If he says maidim twice, it's like there's two Rabbi Nishloilams. Therefore, mishatkin, I say. The Gemara says, chayev adam levarech al hara, kishem shemavarchen al atoiv. Just like a person gives a bracha to Hashem when something good happens, the same way a person has to say Baruch Dayan Emes when something bad happens. If a person says the only reason for the mitzvah of Kansipor was given, is since Hashem has Rachmanos on animals, we silence him, since we know that this is just a stam gzera, and it really has nothing to do with Rachmanos. Taisus asks on the side, why do we say then a special piyut on a second day of Pesach of Oisei V'yes Benoi to show Hashem has Rachmanos on the animals? If we know that it has nothing to do with Rachmanis, but it's a stam gzera, so why do we say that at all? And the Gemara says, since the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila made up the specific Nusach for Shmoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to add praises to Hashem on your own, since you can never do justice to the reality of the unlimited number of praises that one could give to Hashem. Amar Rabbi Chanina, HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz MiYira Shamayim. Everything really comes and is totally in Shamayim, except for Yira Shamayim, that's totally in the individual person himself. If one says Maidim Maidim or Shma Shma, the Mishtakin I say, we quiet him, since it's like saying, the person is like saying that there are two Rabbi Nishalams in the world. The Mishnah. We read from the Maisa Reuven, the Pilegesh Aviv, but we do not translate it. We do translate the Maisa of Yehuda Vitamar. And the Gemara says, even though the Maisa Bereshis is complex, we do read it and we are Matargan. And the Maisa Egel we also translate, since Klal Yisrael will be embarrassed when they hear it, and they'll have a kapara. The Maisa of Yehuda Vitomer is a praise to Yehuda, since he admitted his chait. The Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Elozer Aymer, Lo'aylam yehe adam zar b'tshuvaysa. A person should be very careful with his answers, with the answers that he gives to people, since Aaron's answer regarding the Egel encouraged the troublemakers. The Gemara says anything in the Torah which is mentioned bignai, disgracefully, has a separate kri from the ksiv. All ridiculing is usar. A person should not ridicule, except the ridiculing of avodah zarah. And finally, the Gemara says a person who has a beautiful reputation, it is mutter to praise him, and if you do, you will have brachas placed on your head. That's the end of this parak.